Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, help us. Let's make a good choir tonight, if you would. Amen. I don't see Brother Mark or Sister Robin, so Sister Valerie is going to help us on the piano tonight. So come on, let's make a good choir. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. Amen. How many glad for God's faithfulness to us? Amen. Bringing us through the storm. I thought there'd be more hands than that right there. Amen. How many glad the Lord's been good to us, his faithfulness? Amen. We've got a lot to praise the Lord about tonight. Amen. Brother Aaron, come on, lead songs if you would.
Good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. I'm thankful for everything God's done for us. We're going to start off with page 92.
Well, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little life in heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us have
a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faint cry and he will answer by fire.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire.
You will find
a little talk with Jesus makes me right.
Now let us have
a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faintest cry.
He will answer
by and by.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes me right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day.
Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear our faintest
cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire will burn it.
He will find
a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes are filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear our faintest cry.
He will answer by and by.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire will burn it.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us have
a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear our faintest cry.
He will answer by and by.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire will burn it.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Let us have
a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire will burn it.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel
a little prayer will turn it,
then you'll know
a little fire will burn it.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes you
right. Turn to page 94, we'll sing I'm in a New World.
kept his spirit free. Old things have passed away. Old things are new today. He gave me life full past, so dear. Oh, how I've changed since I found him. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new ever since that happy day. He opened up my blinded eyes, and I had a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me.
come make an altar tonight. Amen. Let's take our petitions to the Lord. Amen. Let's lift up the Sheffield family in prayer and just ask the Lord to be with them. And I'm sure most of you know Sister Laura Sheffield passed away yesterday evening. We want to lift up Brother Chester, Brother Cole, Brother Travis, and Sister April in prayer. And I don't have any announcements for you at this time. We'll try to get that information to you. But let's pray for the Sheffield family, if you would. How about on my right side? Any other requests tonight in the house of the Lord? How about in the middle section? Brother Mike? Do pray for Brother Savage, Brother Nelson. All right. Pray for my father. He's still struggling there in Ohio, sick, so remember him. And then one grandmother was sent home from the hospital with hospice care. My other grandmother is in the hospital with pneumonia. And then I requested prayer Sunday. Appreciate those that were here Sunday. We had a small college prayer meeting, but we got through it. And but I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. But I requested prayer for my brother-in-law, his brother, Rick, and got a text from David today, and things are not well there. So they're not for sure he's going to make it or not. So he's 52 years old. He's a backslider. And just pray the Lord would give him a chance to pray. If he doesn't heal his body, just give him a chance to call on the Lord. So remember him, if you would. His name is Rick Mitchell. How about on this left side? All right, Sister Wilder. All right, Sister. All right, let's pray for this family, Brother Wilder. All right, any other requests tonight? All right, remember Elton, if you would. All right, amen. Let's pray one for another. Come on into the altar, if you would. Let's spend some time calling on the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's look to heaven. Amen. Brethren, come tonight if you would. Amen. Let's worship the Lord with our giving. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Your faithfulness to the work of the Lord. Amen. Brother Eddie Barnes, lead us to the Lord in prayer if you would, please. Amen. Sister Lauren, come on, get ready to sing tonight. As she's coming, good to see Brother Nathaniel, Sister Shayla home. Amen. And I realize the hurricane welcomed them back, but amen. Glad they're back in the house of the Lord. Good to see them tonight. Amen. Someone got a good word for the Lord? Testify while they're getting ready, while she's getting ready to sing for us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sure. Amen. Amen. Brother Johnny, testify. Good to see you tonight. Yeah. Sure. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure. No doubt. Amen. Amen. Sure, sure. No doubt. Oh, yeah. That's right. Amen. Yeah. No doubt, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I believe it. That's right. Yes, sir. That's right. Help us, God. No doubt. That's right. Right, right. No doubt, no doubt. Thank you, Jesus. Sure. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Amen. How many of you are glad to be saved tonight?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's worship with Sister Lauren tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
shout it tonight, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 107. Psalms chapter number 107. Four verses of scripture, but it is the same verse. Amen. And through the repetitive pen of the psalm, maybe you'll get the message tonight. The verse is found in verse 18, 15, 21, and 31. 8, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And as if you have not got the message just yet, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Amen. I would tell you to praise the Lord right now, but I don't know if some of you are just awake enough to even do it. So I don't know if I got the right sermon tonight on a Wednesday night or not. But is there anybody that could heed the advice of the psalmist and say, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 To His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Why don't you find five people standing close by that need this message and see if you can encourage them. You need to praise the Lord tonight. You guys coming up here tonight or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now don't go back in that seat and go back to sleep. Hallelujah. I've invited five of my students up tonight to help me with this. So in just a minute, these homileticians are going to help me preach about praise. Amen. But you realize we're 39 minutes into this service. And for some of you, that was your first praise for the Lord. Amen. Just look straight ahead. Don't look at anybody. Just look straight ahead. So now that I have your attention, I want to preach tonight about the psalmist's plea for praise. The psalmist's plea for praise. God bless you. You're seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about the psalmist's plea for praise. And I want to talk in two different aspects, the invitation to praise God and the inspiration for our praise to God. But notice, first of all, the invitation to praise God, the invitation to praise God. Four times in one chapter, this is the only place this phrase is used in the Bible, oh, that men, oh, that men, oh, that men. They tell us, Edersheim and other scholars, that this is written in the post-Babylon era as they were coming back to reestablish the land of Israel. And there were those that were coming back to praise God, and they were coming back to establish the temple, and they were coming back to inhabit the promised land after being in Babylonian captivity. And I have time to remind you of all of those that stayed in captivity that could have come back to the promised land, but decided to stay in Babylon because they fell in love with the culture and they decided to stay there. But that's a sermon for another day. This psalmist picks up his pen and reminds those that come back from Babylon to the land of blessing and the land of favor that men would praise the Lord. But notice the plea. Notice almost he is if he's leading the congregation much like a preacher does on many, many occasions and says, oh, Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Almost as if he invites us or he begs us. Let me insert that tonight. He begs us to praise the Lord. I've thought about it today. You would think it would be automatic that we would praise the Lord. You would think that it would be automatic that the people of God would always have a praise for the Lord, but it must not be so. It must not be so as we read Scripture. And when I look into my life, I realize sometimes it is not so. But I have to remind myself, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing? People get excited about a whole lot of things. Men and women get excited about a whole lot of things of this world. But if there's one thing we ought to be excited about tonight, amen, if there's one thing that we ought to spend our energy about, if there's anything that we ought to use our emotions about, it ought not be worry and the secular things of this world, but it's to magnify and to praise our God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. The Hebrew word yada right there. Catch it. It's a picture word to throw your hands up. And so the psalmist said, throw your praise up to God. Just throw your praise up to God. Somebody said, you shouldn't get excited when you come to the house of the Lord. Well, if you had been in Babylon captivity like he had, and you had come back to the promised land, then you'd have no problem throwing your hands up to God and throwing your praise up to God. Amen. Some people have no problem throwing insults to God. Some men have no problem taking the name of the Lord in vain and throwing that up to God. Amen. But those of us that are redeemed should have no problem throwing our praise up to the Lord and just magnifying the Lord and praising him with hallelujahs and praising him with thank you, Jesus, that I'm saved. Oh, that men would throw their hands to God and throw their praise to God. But notice he's already qualified who he's talking to in the beginning of the chapter when he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's not talking to the unredeemed. He is not talking to those that are walking in a heathen land. But he said, oh that the redeemed, I don't expect the world to praise him. I don't expect the world to be excited. I don't expect the young folks to get excited at a football game, to get excited when they come to church. But those of you that are covered by the blood of Jesus, those of us that are sanctified holy, those of us that are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, should have no problem throwing praise to God and say thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody know that it brought you out? It's an invitation. Four times he redundantly and repetitively says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Amen. So excuse me, sometimes when I start service or in the middle, like I wanted to do really during song service tonight. Amen. When we got in the wrong key on the second song, but it really didn't matter because he could have done cartwheels tonight. And there were some not going to praise the Lord. There were some not going to worship. They didn't come to magnify God. They didn't come. They might as well have been at Walmart or down at the gas station. They're worried about everything else. But there might be a few of us tonight. I said there might be two or three of us tonight. That there might be a church house full tonight, amen, that gathered in the house of the Lord, amen, to throw my praise to God, amen, because friend, here's what I know. I didn't die on a cross and you didn't die on a cross, but there is a man by the name of Jesus, and he died on a cross. I come to praise him. I come to lift him up, amen, the invitation to praise him. Oh, that men, oh, that women, oh, that children, oh, that fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, that the church one more time would not have to be pleaded and prodded and begged and cajoled to praise God, but we come into the house of the living God, amen, with every energy inside of us, and to say, I will bless the Lord, I will magnify the Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our name, the name of our God, it is to be praised. Hallelujah. So the invitation to praise God. Number two, the inspiration of our praise to God. He said there's really two reasons. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Look with me in the rest of this verse. For his goodness and for his wonderful works. For his goodness and for his wonderful works. Get ready. For his goodness and for his wonderful, wonderful works. for his goodness, his nature, who he is. He is a good God. And so I come to give him praise tonight because of who he is. And because he never changes, our praise should never change. It doesn't matter whether it's Wednesday night, Sunday morning, or Sunday night. My praise should never change. Doesn't matter whether I've had a good week or a rough week, whether I'm feeling bad or feeling good. I've come to give him praise. I said I've come to give him praise. I've come to magnify him because his nature is good. Amen. His nature is good. His nature is, I don't know what kind of week you've had, but I promise you, you don't know what kind of week I've had either. But here's what I know. It's not about me and you. It's about him. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your problem. Get your eyes off your circumstance. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Is he not good? I said, is he not a good God? Is he not a holy God? Is he not a righteous God? Is he not always God? I said, he's always been God and he always will be God. Therefore, I praise him, not because he gives me stuff, not because he does good things for me, but I can praise him if all hell has beat me in the face. I can praise him with the backache. I can praise him with two grandmothers sick. I can praise him. Why? Because his nature is good and he's altogether lovely. Hallelujah. If you could learn that right there, if you could get that buckle down in your soul, because a lot of people don't come to church when they don't feel like it. Well, I'm glad you came to church and you may not even felt like it, but let me tell you something. A lot of people won't praise him because they don't feel like it, but if you'll start praising him, you'll feel like it. I said, if you'll start praising him, you'll feel like it. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I don't like dead church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The dead praise not the Lord, but we which are alive. Amen. We ought to use our strength. Maybe you can't jump as high as you used to or run as fast. Amen. It doesn't matter, friend. Use your strength to magnify your God. But there's something so powerful about praise. When we start worshiping him, we start praising him, I feel like praising him more. I feel like praising him more. If I can just break through, if I can just break through whatever holds me back, if I can just get through it into that presence of the Lord, then all of a sudden that praise starts flowing. It's been a while for some of you since you broke through that. You come to church and leave church the same way. Don't even feel the presence of God. It was funny. Sunday was the smallest crowd we've ever had, obviously. It was literally a cottage prayer meeting. But I got tickled because some people are so set in their habits. It was like a normal service for them. I got so tickled when I left because it was the same to them. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm just, it's funny because we have our expectation of what church should be. We've got him so locked in a box, we know what row we're going to sit on. We know how much energy we're going to expend. Some of you already got the conclusion of the service planned. You've already got my epitaph written. You've already seen this thing landing in the field somewhere. What would happen? What would happen if we come and started praising the Lord and allowed the Holy Ghost to get in our praise and allowed the Spirit of the Lord to get in our praise and we made up in our mind, I don't want to leave the same way that I came. I come a little tired, but I'm going to leave strengthened. I come a little weary, but I'm going to leave lifted up by the power. I already feel better than when I came to the house of the Lord right now. And if you don't feel, come preach with me right here. Come stand right here. Amen. Maybe you're not feeling God where you're at, but he is right here. I can feel him breathing on me right now. Amen. I just want to praise him. Amen. The inspiration of my praise is because of who he is. But number two, because of his wonderful works. because of what He has done for us, because of the good things God has done for us. We praise Him because of His wonderful works. He brought us out of the miry clay. He brought us out of sin and out of shame. I want you to look back in your life, and has the Lord been good to you? If the Lord has been good to you, then hear this preacher quote the psalmist and say, Oh that men would praise the Lord. Would you right now lift your hands and give God a praise that He's worthy of? Glory, glory, glory. Would you lift your mouth and lift your voice to God and say, oh that men would praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that men would praise. 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 P-R-A-I-S-E. Spell it with me. Praise Him. P-R-A-I-S-E. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
If you want to turn your Bibles to Psalms 150, just a few chapters over, we praise Him because He's a powerful God. It's a familiar scripture, one that's often quoted, but so, so significant. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. We know that God is powerful, but just how powerful is He? The writer says to praise Him in the firmament of His power. Well, what is the firmament? What is it? You look back in the beginning, and when it's first mentioned, it's talking about when God created the heavens and the earth. When He divided, when He created the sky, and then He created the heavens. Go read it real quick. Genesis chapter 1, 6 to 7 and 8 says, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God said, the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters and which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. You think about that. Think about that. Me and Aaron, we were talking earlier today about this, and we used to talk about the firmament. It's defined as an expanse, a flat as a base, or support, or a beginning. We start looking out the sky. We start just looking at it. You can never capture the sky all in one view. You can never see it all at once. Even when you're out in outer space and you're looking on the earth, you can never see the entire earth at once. You can't see it all at once. We look at God and He's so immense, He's so expansive, He's so large, He's so omnipotent, He's so powerful. We can't capture it in one view. Our minds are finite and His power is infinite. His power, His miracles, it's infinite. There's no way that we can capture it. There's no way that we can summarize it in one thought, in one sentence, in the words that we know in the English dictionary. First we see the sky, and then we look to the outer space. I asked somebody today, where does the sky end? Where does the sky end? We don't have markers in the sky. We have places in our minds. We have names for it. But truly, the sky goes as far as we can see. It includes the stars. It includes the planets, the sun, the moon. God, the God that created the universe, the moon, the things that hang on nothing. Somehow, it all is in gravitational pull, and it all stands. And yet, He's still more powerful. He's still more powerful than this firmament. He's still more powerful. There's still more power to Him. And then you look to heaven. Oh, heaven. How beautiful heaven is. We think of that song, how beautiful heaven must be. Think about it. As the Bible goes into details about the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, so many different things about heaven. But yet God is still more powerful. That's just a glimpse of His power. That's just a glimpse of how powerful He truly is. This is just the beginning. And to think that we barely catch a glimpse of this today, to think that we just catch a glimpse of what He's created here on this earth, the creation that we see all around us, the creatures, the trees, we see the wind go through the air, and all these different things, and we're just catching a glimpse. And to think that we serve a God that's so much powerful than we can even think. I texted Aaron earlier on today. I was like, as I think about this, as I ponder it, I can't contain it. I can't help but just shout about it, to think about all that my God's done for me, and to think that this is a God. This is a God who hears our prayers, who answers our prayers. We look into the New Testament where Jesus steps into the midst of different situations, different problems, and answers prayers. Whenever the people cry out, He's there answering. Whenever people cry out for His help, He's there answering continuously, time after time. And to think that He can go beyond our prayers, beyond our beliefs, beyond what we can ever think. God is powerful. He is indeed so immense. He is so omnipotent. And praise indeed, just like the psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. There's there's no reason why we shouldn't praise him for the power that he has, for that one fact right there, and there's so many other, but just for the power that he has, just for the omnipotence of his creation. I can't summarize it in these earthly words, but you know what? I'm so thankful that one day I'm going to be able to praise him forever, and that heaven that he's created that's beyond my imagination, beyond detail, I'm thankful that one day I can praise the God for his power.
Aren't you thankful for the power of God? Amen. All Christians have a privilege and a responsibility to worship and praise for the redemptive work of salvation and deliverance that has been wrought in our lives. Praise. What does praise mean? To exalt, to honor, to bless, to glorify. One of the many reasons we have to praise God is for the redemptive work of Jesus in our lives. Thus, we must ask ourselves, what is redemption? The Old Testament Hebrew word translates to tear loose. God's work of redemption is seen in the Old Testament by the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, a freeing from a place, a person, or a thing. The New Testament Greek word for redeem translates to buy back. God's work of redemption is seen in the New Testament by the glorious work of the cross, a freeing from sin and a deliverance unto. Galatians 3:13 reads as follows, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, it is forewritten, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. This scripture implies to buy back as the purchase of a slave for freedom. Once under the curse of the law, we are made slaves of the law. But we are made free by the power of Jesus Christ through his willingness to take upon himself for us the curse and punishment that was due to us for our sins. This word redeemed speaks metaphorically of Christ freeing the elect from the dominion of the Mosaic law at the price of his crucifixion. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that the law is being fulfilled, Christ entered in once into the most holy place, or the cross, and offered himself as a propitiation and sacrifice for our sins. There was a ransom that had to be paid. Follow me now as we walk up this hill, known as the place of the skull, to the familiar location we know to be Calvary. Here we find a place of desolation and darkness, a place where love never rules and grace never reigns. Here at this place, the rebels, the wicked, the prisons, the thieves, the outcasts of the human race are taken to be crucified to a fatal death. Here, the place of the skull, an innocent man, the man-child Christ Jesus, is about to transform this place of horror, dismay, and terror into a place of honor, deliverance, and triumph. Here at this place of the skull, upon this awful hill, our rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley begins to bloom. Here at this place of the skull, a river of joy, peace, and redemption begins to burst forth. This place was once a picture of rejected shame, now becomes the meeting place for all the redeemed to rejoice and to shout. For the Lord brought us out of bondage of sin and granted us freedom and joy and liberty and peace. The Lord brought us out. We are not fanatical people running around shouting, jumping, and clapping for no reason, but we are blood-washed. We are Holy Ghost-filled. We are fire-baptized. We are saved to the Most High God through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
You're reading from Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You've already heard B, you've already heard R. God is powerful. He is the Redeemer. A, he is aware. He is aware. Awareness. God, from this text, you can see that the children of Israel were in this bondage. Imagine being in bondage for years, enslavement. You were captive. You were held bound by something that you could not control. Physical pain and emotional turmoil. Through it all, God knew where they were and heard their cry. He saw right where they were and heard them in the midst of this struggle. You can see that it's beautiful. God sees the cause of the affliction. God sees your cause of affliction. He hears your cries of agony. And he knows your care and ailment. So you can see God in the midst of this problem sees. He knows. A lot of people had a lot of faith in the president, and it would be, it's, some people, they'll just take it out of proportion. Well, if I could just tell somebody in authority, if I could take it to a judge. Well, we have a judge. We have a king of kings. But what good does it do to take it to him? He knows. Yes, he knows. Praise God. But he cares. Not only does he know, but he cares. Sees you where you are, but he'll come to you where you are. Isn't that a beautiful thing? There is purpose for the pain. But not only that, you can praise him through the problems. You don't have to be limited by your circumstances. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter where we're at. That's not where we have to be. If we lift him higher, we'll come out of it.
I'm thankful that God is powerful, that we worship him as a redeemer, and as he said, aware of our problems, but we also worship him because he is Emmanuel. Isaiah prophesied and said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. The prophecy of a coming Messiah was then fulfilled by Jesus' birth in the New Testament. Matthew writes and says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In the Old Testament, they worshipped him as they knew him, Creator, Lord, and God Almighty, but they could not worship him as Emmanuel. They only had a promise and a foreshadowing of a Messiah that was to come. But then John wrote in the book, obviously John, and he said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. No one but Jesus can claim the title of Emmanuel. He was the most unique man that has ever walked this planet. He was perfectly God, yet perfectly man. He was divine, but humanity. He was God wrapped in flesh, the perfect blend of humanity and divinity. No one can claim that title of Emmanuel but Jesus. Today we still worship him as Creator, as Lord, and as God Almighty, but we can worship him what they could not in the Old Testament, and that is Emmanuel, because he came to earth to dwell among. He left heaven's splendor to come to earth, but why did he come? Christ came and lived a sinless life. He died an atoning death and rose a victorious over a death hell in the grave for one reason, and that was to save mankind from their sins. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We praise him for coming to earth to redeem fallen mankind from their sins. For Jesus came for one reason, and that is the only reason alone. And Jesus came to pay in full the full penalty of sin. He came to give his life for the sins of the world. One purpose, redeeming fallen mankind from their sins. Christ died on Calvary so we didn't have to die, but if he would not have come to earth first, he would never have been able to be Redeemer. He had to first be Emmanuel, God with us, so that he could one day be Redeemer. When we worship him as Emmanuel, we are also worshiping him for coming to earth to die and take our place. Aren't you thankful that Christ came to earth to dwell among us and die for us? I'm so thankful that God is Emmanuel.
Praise God. The psalmist said in Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him. Amen. The next thing I want to talk to us real quick tonight, reason to praise the Lord is for strength. Amen. First, you can see in this passage of Scripture, we see the psalmist said, the Lord is my strength. We see a giving of strength tonight. We understand that where we are today, we have not got here on our own. There is nothing we have done that has got us to this point in our spiritual walk. There is no ability, no talent, nothing that we have done of our own strength to get us to where we are. Amen. It is by the strength given from God that it is to where we are today. It is the strength given of God that has got us to where we are in our spiritual walk. Brother Johnny addressed it earlier. If it wasn't for God, where would we be? If it wasn't for God, where would we be? It was the strength that he's given us throughout our walk to get us to where we are today. We see that in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God is the giver of strength to the Christian. He is the giver of strength to those in need and those of weakness. Amen. But not only we see a giving of strength, but we see a giving of praise. If you read down, it says, with my song will I praise him. Amen. We see this is a personal praise. We see that God has given strength. He says, the Lord is my strength. But then we see God's given me strength, so it's time for me to give him praise. With my song will I praise him. Amen. This is a personal praise. This is a praise that no one can give for you. You have to give it yourself. No one can praise God like you can praise God. Nobody knows what God has brought you through except you. So that means nobody can praise God for that except you. Amen. Praise is a confession.
It says, it's not me. It was God. It says, I never would have made it without the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful for strength tonight. He deserves all the praise. He is the giver of strength. He is the reason we are here to where we are today. And if we fail to praise him, that is on our part. God has never failed. God has never failed to strengthen us when we needed strength. But if we fail tonight to praise him for the strength he's given us, that is our fault. That is our problem. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. We can praise him because he is the giver of strength.
Thank God. Thank God. Ah, hallelujah. And the last letter is? Everlasting. How many glad God is everlasting? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Would you stand right now, lift your hands and give God praise? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ah, we love you right now, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, Sister Robin, come on to the music tonight. Come on, church, let's make a joyful noise. Let's magnify the Lord. Give him the highest praise you've got. Glory to God. Glory. Oh, he's powerful. He is a redeemer. He sees your situation. He is God with us. Oh, hallelujah. He gives us strength. He is everlasting. He's always been God and he always will be God. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. How he woke me up this morning, he started me on my way. I said, God's been good. Oh, God's been good. God's been good. God's been good. How we love you, Lord.
Oh, I feel like praising, praising him. Oh, I feel like praising, praising him. I will praise him in the morning, praise him all day long.
Church, come on.
Praise him in
Let's
the
come
morning.
Around this altar. Let's
Praise
stand tonight. Let's stand and worship the
I
Lord.